and welcome. You're watching The Buck Stops here and I'm Barkh Haddad. The top story tonight, India's Silicon Valley, the city of Bangalore or Bengaluru, is quite literally burning. Vandals and arsonists have taken to the street running riot. This is vandalism in the name of the Kaveri water dispute. Remember, the Supreme Court had asked Karnataka to release water to Tamil Nadu. Today, the Supreme Court slightly modified its own verdict, saying that all right, you can release less water than we ordered earlier, but you will have to release the water. Karnataka is not accepting that, and we're actually seeing the worst sort of identity politics play out both on the streets of Bangalore and in Tamil Nadu as well. The day began with a restaurant, a hotel, New Woodlands in Chennai, being attacked by a fringe Tamil group because it's owned by a Karnataka company. And in Bangalore, as you can see on your screen, scores of buses with a Tamil Nadu registration have in fact been set ablaze. The Bangalore Police Commissioner is saying that security precautions are being taken, but at the moment the situation seems extremely tenuous, with even the United States stepping in to issue an advisory for its citizens. On the program today, we'll be asking whether parochial politics are putting point scoring ahead of people. In these water wars, is identity politics drowning common sense? Let's first go across to my colleague Maya Sharma. She is at that spot where we saw those buses being set ablaze. Maya, as we return to those pictures, can we please return to the pictures? We're actually on the pictures of the daytime that don't actually convey what's happening there on the ground at all. And we do need to give a sense of what's happening there. Maya, take us through where you're standing and what's happening.
Right now, we're just off Mysuru Road. This is the new timber yard layout near the satellite bus stand at Kengeri. Buses and lorries and tempos have been brought here to this spot, have been brought here to this crossroad, and they have been set on fire through the day. The most recent, just when you reached it, about 7 o'clock, that bus took about an hour to burn. A Tamil Nadu registration bus took an hour to burn, and it's still smoldering there. The last of the flames still being seen there at this time. Now, locals are telling us between 20 to 30 buses have been set on fire here. Not just buses, lorries, tempos. This happened through the day, starting in the morning, going on through the afternoon, and the most recent being set on fire just around 7 p.m. when we came here. The parallel roads in this area, vehicles also set on fire. Prohibitory orders are in place here, but we've seen mobs of people gathering here, dispersing only when the police vans arrived. It is quieter now, though. As the flames die down, the people's gathering also seems to be dying down as well. But certainly an air of dismay, an air of apprehension in Bengaluru, an air which actually saw people sending students home early from school, offices shutting down, the metro shut down, buses off the road for a while, no buses going to neighbouring Tamil Nadu, as once again Bengaluru crippled over the Kaveri issue with protests on the street, large-scale arson and vandalism.
Now, Maya, the fact is that a number of people one knows from the city of Bangalore are putting out messages saying that these arsonists on the street do not represent us. And I think that's a message that the city of Bangalore wants to send out to India. But then it raises really sort of sinister questions. Who is directing the agitation on the road? What role are politicians actually playing? For example, we saw a Facebook post by a Tamilian who lives in Karnataka mocking Karnataka film stars, actually resulting in him being thrashed up and beaten up. And while the government is promising action against those who beat him, we heard the Karnataka Home Minister say this young man, Santosh, would now be arrested for this Facebook post. So aren't politicians also guilty of fueling the fire instead of dousing it?
Fueling the fire, most definitely. The Bund itself, which was called on Friday, was called by one ex-MLA, Vartal Nagaraj, and saw the support of many pro-Kannada organizations, as they're called. But it received the full on-street support of the BJP. The BJP was out there protesting in large numbers. Friday's was, of course, a largely peaceful protest. The Congress state government also, while not openly supporting the Bund, probably did not mind the scenes of protests and anger and roadblocks and general air of upset going out from Karnataka. They may not have minded that, and they may not have cracked down on those protests as much as they would have. they were caught really between the public sentiment and the Supreme Court, and perhaps the Congress government also nothing lost to actually let the public have its say to express what the mood was in the state. But as you said, saner voices are there in plenty, saner voices questioning also, but even if people tweet questioning the need for a bun, they're immediately drowned out with people asking them, aren't you in Karnataka, aren't you drinking Karnataka's water? So even the voices, the sane voices talking about the way to protest, they're also finding it a little difficult, having to tread a fine line, having to say, yes, the needs of Karnataka have to be taken care of, but maybe there's another way to make this point. There's a feeling of caution, even in the sane voices, but there are sane voices in plenty which really need to be heard.
Well, Maya, one of those sane voices was that of Kiran Shaw, and she was massively trolled on Twitter, having to then write an open letter where she spoke about the pain she felt at receiving that abuse. We'll come back to you. Kiran is on the program. She's among our guests tonight. Kiran Mazumdar Shaw, the chairperson and managing director of Biocon. Also joining us from Bangalore tonight, Vikram Sampath, author and historian. From Chennai, crossing the Kaveri divide, we're joined by Nandita Krishnan, historian and writer, and RK Raghavan, the former director of the CBI, and with me in the studio, Justice Karju, retired judge of the Supreme Court, to actually talk a little bit about whether this dispute is actually well beyond the Supreme Court. It's been on for decades, and it perhaps needs some completely different model of mediation. Kiran, I want to start with you, and I want to start with you because Maya referred to your being among those saner voices who spoke about how, you know, buns and certainly not violence, these are not the solutions. And then you were at the receiving end of the most vicious attack. You then wrote an open letter talking about the pain you felt at that kind of abuse. And look what's happened today. We've gone well beyond buns. We are seeing arson, looting, vandalism on the streets of India's Silicon Valley.
Yeah, it is very, very sad and shocking, you know, Barkha. And my first, you know, question that I'm asking is, where is Jayalalitha and Siddaramaiah and all the political parties coming together, appealing to the people for calm and peace? You know, I really believe that politics have to be completely set aside. And this is a very serious situation. We cannot be warring in one country. And this dispute has to be resolved amicably, peacefully, and with reason and rationale. We have enough data that both sides can present, and the dispensation should be something that both sides must then be able to live with. But this kind of, you know, judicial verdict causing this kind of violence, it is absolutely unacceptable in a country like ours, definitely not in a city like Bangalore.
Kiran, I find it very significant what you're saying. You're saying this was a moment for Mr. Siddaramaiah and Ms. Jayalalitha to maybe do a joint press conference to say, okay, while we work out our differences, we are appealing to our citizens, stop this madness. And, you know, Maya Sharma alluded to this. She said maybe the Siddaramaiah government isn't really controlling the agitation on the streets because maybe they want to be seen in tune with public sentiment. So that's really dangerous when politicians and governments start playing to populist sentiment, actually encouraging violence.
Absolutely. That's my point. And, you know, when will we not allow politics to get the better of reason and sanity? And this is affecting people at all sections of society. Please understand, it's not just about big businesses. The common man is affected. You are robbing him of his livelihood. So, you know, this is a very serious situation. And what about the Tamilian in Karnataka and the Kannadiga in Tamil Nadu? They are also being targeted and attacked in a senseless way. I mean, we have to put an end to this violence and this madness.
Yes, I actually couldn't agree with you more. And we are going to get political reactions on the phone as we go along this program. But let me just get a view from Chennai, from Nandita. Nandita, I do agree with Kiran. This is a moment for our politicians to stand together. We're not seeing that. We are seeing Siddaramaiah writing angry letters to Jayalalitha. We are seeing a Karnataka company that owns the new Woodlands Hotel, you know, that hotel being ransacked. We are seeing a Tamil fringe group today attack a Karnataka bank. Equally conversely, in Karnataka, we're seeing a young Tamilian being thrashed for writing a Facebook post. I mean, are we seeing identity politics completely drown our sanity in this water war?
You know, the shortage of natural resources is going to lead to more and more wars. And water is the most important natural resource, and we are seeing less and less of it. We talk about wars between countries, but it's going to now be wars between states, Tamil Nadu versus Karnataka, and it's very, very sad. I mean, to start with, the Supreme Court has given a ruling. The first thing that should be done is that the ruling should be honored, and if Karnataka felt that it was not fair, they should go back to the Supreme Court and say, what do we do in a year like this? But you know, Barkha, for the last 1 year on TV, I have been seeing the rivers of Bengaluru frothing with foam because of the pollution. You know, we are not looking after our water resources anywhere in this country, whether in Tamil Nadu or in Karnataka. We're not looking after our water resources. So, I mean, there's less and less to go around.
But Nandita, do you agree with Kiran? And let's bring her up as well for a quick response to what you've said. Do you agree with Kiran that this is a moment for Jayalalitha and Siddaramaiah to stand shoulder to shoulder? We are Indian states. We are not two separate countries. How can we let parochial politics and regional identities take over our sanity to this degree, Nandita?
I agree totally, Barkha. But you know, politicians have their own constituencies and their constituents, and they are going to do whatever they want to do. I mean, ideally, the two chief ministers should sit together and sort it out. But do you really think that can happen? I don't know.
Kiran, a quick response there, and then I'll open it up for the rest of the panel. The fact is that Karnataka has basically said we will not accept a Supreme Court order. Does that set a healthy precedent?
Well, you know, as Nandita just said, I think these kind of court verdicts obviously do get this kind of response from an aggrieved party. And so they should go and appeal. But I feel this should also be also approached through an out-of-court kind of settlement as well. And apart from that, I would like to say, just add to what Nandita said, I think water resources are going to be the bone of contention in this country, across the country. And I think we need to come up with a very, very robust water, national water policy. You know, interlinking of the rivers is long overdue. We keep talking about it. We know that 80% of our water is not harnessed in this country of ours. Every other country is aware of the fact that water is a very scarce commodity, and they are all taking a lot of action to see how they harness the water to the fullest. I mean, look at across the border, look at what China is doing with the Himalayan waters, and look at what we are doing with the Himalayan waters. China is actually creating dams across their rivers from the Himalayas and making sure that they harness that water, whilst we are allowing 80% of that Himalayan water to flow directly into the sea. So these are big issues. We need to focus on water management and water harvest, you know, harnessing.
But, you know, how do we immediately break this impasse, this cycle of violence? Vikram Sampath, you're on Skype, so the line isn't great, but this is a problem we're facing today with our guest from Bangalore. There's complete chaos on the streets, so we couldn't get you to the studio. Give us a sense of the identity politics at play here and why, as Maya Sharma suggested, maybe the Karnataka government is actually tacitly supporting these protests. Hang on just a second. I'm also joined by Mr. Yediyurappa, who's, of course, a senior opposition leader of the BJP in the state. Mr. Yediyurappa, how do we calm down Bangalore? Isn't this the moment for all politicians of Karnataka and Tamil Nadu to stand as one and appeal to the people, please stop this violence?
I will appeal to the people of Karnataka and also Tamil Nadu. Please keep the peace and maintain peace and don't interfere in such things. And both the chief ministers of Karnataka and Tamil Nadu, they must take action, those who are indulging in such activities. That's what I told to everybody, and our workers also support doing their level best to control the situation.
But Mr. Yediyurappa, do you believe that Karnataka must implement the Supreme Court order? It is a Supreme Court order.
You see, when the opposition party leaders meeting, the chief minister promised us that we are not going to even a single drop of water because we don't have water in our reservoirs. And we are already instruction not to release water to the sugar cane and also paddy. Afterwards, they have given the undertaking that we are going to release about 10,000 cubic of water. That is a problem raised at that time. Mm. And afterwards, naturally, Supreme Court has given direction 15,000 cubic of water should be released. Mm. Now, unfortunate thing is, today, Supreme Court again, they have given instruction to release the 12th up to 28th September.
Yes.
That has created problem, madam. That's why we are trying our level best to control the situation. And we will await the whatever instruction given by the Supreme Court, and we will follow.
But should it be followed, sir? Because it's not clear that the Siddaramaiah government will follow the Supreme Court order. Do you believe the Siddaramaiah government must release the water for the next 5 days as ordered by the Supreme Court?
We don't have any other choice. Just you must follow the Supreme Court decision. Even though we don't have water for drinking water purpose in our state, and we are facing severe drought in the state. And we are requesting them to come and inspect the spot, send some experts, irrigation experts, to see the situation. But they have given the decision what to do.
So, Mr. Yediyurappa, thank you so much. Mr. Yediyurappa, senior leader of the BJP, they're saying we do not have any other choice but to release this water, even though we do not have even enough water to drink. Now, this is a very dire statement, but the opposition leader saying we must release this water. Vikram, you've just heard Mr. Yediyurappa. Go ahead.
Yeah, Barkha, I think as a historian, it really amazes me that this is a dispute that has been going on from 1892. When between the then princely state of Mysore and the Madras presidency, and we had the first arbitration in 1924, and after 50 years, the treaty was supposed to lapse between the two states. Now, Mysore was a subservient state of the British, and so it had to sign a treaty under duress. But then subsequently, after independence, I think there's been so little give and take from both sides. Both sides, I think, have stuck to their very strong positions of how much water each state needs. Now, this particular year has, I think, been a really bad one for Karnataka, with almost 90% of the state going under drought. And incidentally, Karnataka is the second most arid state in India after Rajasthan. Almost 85% of the state goes through drought every year. So I think as Kiran and Nandita and everybody else mentioned, there has to be some new modern solution to a problem that's been so ancient. There has to be a fact-finding committee which should come and assess the ground situation in both the states. And
right, so fact-finding commission that comes to both states and look for an alternative solution. Justice Karju, this is what you have been arguing as well. First, let me ask you, as a judge of the Supreme Court, do you believe the Supreme Court can really resolve this dispute? Or does the court also keep buying time in a sense because the situation is so inflammable and we do not want our states to be at war with each other?
The Supreme Court cannot resolve the dispute. The Supreme Court has passed orders, but who is listening to the Supreme Court? See, we must go a little deeper. See, in South India, there are basically two sources of water. One is rainwater, the other is seawater, because these are coastal states.
Yeah.
Now, regarding rainwater, it often happens that in one part of the state there is drought, and in another part of the state there is flooding.
Flooding.
Or sometimes in the state there's drought, but in the neighboring state there is flooding. Now, this was a situation which arose in China before the Chinese Revolution of 1949. In large parts of China there was drought. In large parts of China there was flooding. You must have heard the river Huang Ho used to be called the River of Sorrow. Because every year millions of people suffered because of flooding. After the Chinese Revolution of 1949, what the Chinese authorities did was they constructed huge reservoirs next to these big rivers, and they constructed canals to the areas which were likely to be drought affected. Now, this serves a double purpose. Firstly, there is no flooding because the excess water is not discharged into the sea.
Yeah.
It is saved in these huge reservoirs. And secondly, these reservoirs then feed the drought affected area, so they also get water. So both the purposes are served. Now, as regards seawater, I have been saying that in sea there is almost unlimited amount of water. The problem is how to convert the salt water into fresh water.
So you're saying that's where the solution lies?
That is one important solution, of course, apart from the rainwater, as I said, building reservoirs and all. You have to find out inexpensive methods of converting salt water into fresh water.
So we will talk about that in just a moment, and I haven't got R.K. Raghavan in yet, but Mr. Raghavan, do forgive me for a moment. We've got Veerappa Moily of the Congress on the phone line and B.S. Yediyurappa of the BJP, and I'm sure all of you will also want to put questions to them. Mr. Moily, we just heard Mr. Yediyurappa say we have no option but to implement this order, and I think we've just lost the line to Mr. Moily, but we'll bring it up. Mr. Yediyurappa, just hold on with us and be a little patient. I'll allow R.K. Raghavan to come in at this moment. Mr. Raghavan, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to steer clear of the politics of the whole happening. I would like to concentrate on the law and order aspect of what's happened. I would like to summarize it by using only one expression, shameful. Yes. Whatever has happened on either side, yes. The two states,
yes.
has been shameful. Vandalism, unchecked vandalism, attacks on individuals and minorities being attacked. This is unacceptable in a country like India. I mean, we recognize only the country, not the states. I mean, as Indians, are we justified in fighting over water in such crude manner? And this is not the first, it's happening for the first time. It's happening successively. And unless, and then you can't blame the police. Yes, the temptation is to condemn the police on either side, that they were inadequately prepared or they connived at the protesters. That's easily said. But what solution has been found by the polity of the country? Because this is happening every other day.
Every again and again.
So this
that's
is
a really,
why you understand.
Sir, that's a very important point, that what's happened is shameful. Don't blame the police, blame the politicians, the polity, the political establishment. Kiran Shaw making the same point. Let's bring up Veerappa Moily now. Mr. Moily, Mr. Yediyurappa is also here with us on the program. Do you accept his argument that Karnataka will have to implement this and release water over the next 5 days? Or is the Congress government going to defy the Supreme Court?
Because when today the Supreme Court has given the direction to release about 12,000 cubic water up to September 20th, we don't have any other way, nah? Forced to release the water. It is a fact that we don't have water for drinking water purpose, and we already given instruction to our farmers that we are not going to release water to the sugarcane and paddy. Even then, the Supreme Court, without inspecting the spot and knowing the exact thing, they are given this direction, then there is no other go for us to release the water. Supreme Court direction you must follow.
So, both of you at least agree on that one thing. I just want to bring in our panel to put questions to both Mr. Yediyurappa of the BJP and Veerappa Moily of the Congress. Kiran Shaw, go ahead. Who would you address your question to, or would it be to both?
To both.
Anyone you want. Is your question?
All political parties.
Yes.
No, I would like to, say I totally, I can understand what Mr. Yediyurappa is saying. I can definitely, hear what Mr. Moily is saying. Both of them are very mature and responsible politicians. And, both of them are saying we have to abide by what the Supreme Court is saying. But I want to request them to say, why can't all the political parties come together, both from Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, and appeal to the people and say that we will sort it out one way, in some way, through a different set of dialogues. And I think the Supreme Court also must take cognizance of the ground reality. I mean, if people feel that we don't have drinking water in Karnataka, I think that's a very serious issue, and that's the emotive issue.
Yeah. Mr. Yediyurappa, would you like to respond to Kiran Shaw, who's saying reach out to Tamil Nadu?
I think there needs to be...
Yes, just let Mr. Yediyurappa come in there. Mr. Yediyurappa, Kiran Shaw saying it's time for all politicians to come together. This is a crisis for the country, Mr. Yediyurappa.
You must come together, both Tamil Nadu and Karnataka. You must discuss in detail, and then only we can solve the problem. Now the Supreme Court has given the direction. At this stage, you can't interfere in the matter. Then in future, we can sit together and we can sort out the problem. Now only request to the people of Karnataka and also Tamil Nadu not to indulge in such irregularities, activities, and please maintain the calm, peace, and try to understand the problem. That's all my request to the Tamil Nadu and also Karnataka people. We don't have... We are not fighting against Tamil Nadu people. We are fighting for the water purpose, and when we don't have water, naturally people are angry, and we are requesting our, all of our leaders and opposition party leaders to cooperate with the government to maintain the peace in the state.
Now, Mr. Moily is also there. Let me get a view from Chennai, maybe, as a question to him, Mr. Moily. Let me bring in Nandita Krishnan, well-known historian, who may have a question to the Congress that is actually in government in Karnataka. Nandita, go ahead. You've heard both Veerappa Moily and Yediyurappa, B.S. Yediyurappa, say, we will release the water. We don't have a choice. Your question to the Congress leader now.
Yes, you know, all this violence started with the remarks of an MLA who attacked the order, the Supreme Court order, and said we should not release water to Tamil Nadu. Now, at that point, the government of the state should have stepped in and stopped it and stopped them. And they should know that this is leading to violence. When a MLA or an MP makes a remark like that, it is a call to violence of some sort. So why didn't they do something? I mean, the first couple of days were just, everything just went on. It's only now
that everyone's waking up. Are you suggesting that the Congress government allowed this crisis to reach this point, Nandita? Is that what you're saying?
I think they did allow it. I think they permitted it in the sense that they didn't think it would get this bad. But you know, our country, everything is inflammable. So when somebody makes a remark, you have to step in and stop it and say, look, don't talk, and you know, make sure that this doesn't
Veerappa Moily, do you want to take that?
I mean, yes,
look, ma'am.
At the way Bangalore is burning.
Veerappa Moily, the accusation that the Congress had a few days to avoid this, that in some ways you allowed this situation to fester.
Yeah, that is not true to facts, because you know, the throughout the scheme has been, in fact, called.
I think Mr. Moily is on a train and the line to him is really bad. But Mr. Yediyurappa, do you agree with that criticism that the Congress government has allowed this situation to go out of hand deliberately for political reasons?
No, not at all. We don't want to make use of this for political purpose. And my only request to both the state people, should they maintain the law and order situation, the chief minister must take necessary action against the people, those who are indulging in such activities, and both Tamil Nadu and Karnataka also should cooperate. People should cooperate with the government at this stage.
All right, we leave it there, Mr. Yediyurappa and Veerappa Moily. We're taking it back to our panel. Justice Karju, you've acquired a reputation for being provocative, but you say on Twitter today, and this might be kind of, some would say, irresponsible for someone of your stature. Come to me, you Tamilian gundas who like to beat up helpless Kannadigas in Tamil Nadu, and you Kannadiga gundas who like to beat up helpless people, conversely, in the other state. Should you have been saying this? What did you mean by it?
I condemned gundaism.
And you believe that's what's happening in both states?
Obviously, you can see it. But see, I want to say something. Well, this problem can't be solved by these politicians, nor can it be solved by the Supreme Court.
So who will solve it?
I will tell you.
Someone has to take the lead in solving it, no?
Scientists, you have to. I put up on my Facebook page and blog that both Karnataka and Tamil Nadu government and central government must set up a committee of scientists. This has to be solved by scientists. It can't be solved by these politicians. Yes. You have to have top level of scientists who are specialized in the field of solving water shortage problems.
But
you
politicians are needed to accept decisions.
They will come later. They cannot take this. They cannot resolve the dispute. You have to, this is a scientific problem. You have to solve the problem by scientists who are special. You get from all over the world, people, scientists.
Okay, I can see Kiran Shaw agreeing with you, and then we'll go to R.K. Raghavan and then Vikram. Kiran, go ahead.
So I completely agree with Justice Karju. In fact, that is why I was raising my hand a little while ago, because when we talk about out-of-court settlement, it has to be a scientific survey done, a geological survey, a scientific survey, an assessment of the situation in a very rational, scientific way, which has data. You know, only data can basically give you the right resolution of this very, very serious dispute. Secondly, I also wanted to agree with Mr. Karju that this violence has been caused by gundas and fringe elements. We have enough CCTV footage. We have enough TV footage to show who these miscreants are, who these gundas and hooligans are, and police must take action. These people must be brought to book, because I can tell you that this is very clearly arson and looting which is going on in the name of this dispute. And most of these people who are indulging in this violence have got no interest in the Kaveri dispute.
That's very strongly said by both of you. Now, in a moment, we'll go to Mr. Mallikarjun Kharge, leader of opposition in Parliament, MP from Karnataka of the Congress Party. But R.K. Raghavan, go ahead.
I cannot agree more with Kiran when she says these gundas will have to be brought to book. We have got enough video footage. They must be tracked down, hunted, and then locked up. First thing. Second, I am sure Karnataka understands the gravity of the whole issue. When the Supreme Court orders you to do something, I don't think the state government has any option. Secondly, it's not charity that Karnataka is doling out to Tamil Nadu. It's merely obedience to an order issued by the Supreme Court after a great deliberation. Second thing, any talks between Karnataka and Tamil Nadu leaders can still take place even tomorrow. I don't think the proceedings before the Supreme Court are any bar to such negotiations being held, but in top leaders of the two governments, even tomorrow, actually my feeling is that Supreme Court will welcome it, because Supreme Court intervened only because these two states raked up the issue before the court. But now if the two states can sit together and agree to some viable formula, Supreme Court will more than welcome it. So Supreme Court has intervened.
So again and again, I'm hearing everybody here say, I'm actually seeing an agreement on this panel. This cannot be done by the court. This may not even be able to be done by the politicians. Mr. Kharge, there is a sense here, and as the MP from Karnataka, and it's your party's government in Karnataka, that this situation should not have come to this, and that the Congress is also playing politics. For example, there is a young man who writes a Facebook post. He's from Tamil Nadu. He lives in Bangalore. He writes a Facebook post mocking Karnataka's actors. He gets thrashed. In fact, I think we have that video. Is this video of him? This is his video. Please see what's happening on the screen. This is a boy being beaten. Can we just stay on these pictures for a while? This boy is being beaten because he wrote a Facebook post. This is Santosh, being beaten for mocking Karnataka actors. And now we hear the Karnataka Home Minister saying this boy is going to be arrested. Mr. Kharge, is that not playing politics, sir?
No politics. We are all so worried. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court decision is a death blow to Karnataka, because we don't have even drinking water. Miss Jayalalitha is insisting for crops. That is the problem.
Yes.
But anyway, we are not happy what is going in the Bangalore. Some antisocial elements are taking law in their
hands. Answer my question. Why does the Karnataka Home Minister want to arrest this boy called Santosh because of a Facebook post for which he's been beaten?
That I don't know. But tomorrow, anyway, I will ask. Tomorrow there is a 9 o'clock meeting.
Yes.
I will ask that. What is the reason? I appeal all the people of Karnataka and also particularly the citizens of Kaveri Basin to keep calm, and they should keep law and order. And if any people who are violating the law or who are taking law in their hand, they should be punished, and such people should be identified.
Yes.
Anyway, some footage from media, some footage from even police, some CCTV cameras are also there.
Yes.
And after that, because when normalcy comes, naturally all actions will be taken. But at present, we all are worried what is going in Bangalore. First, it should be law and order should be
exactly. And the point being made here, Mr. Kharge, is that this is sheer gundaism and the police must act. Kiran Shaw's made that point. Justice Kaul just made that point. And R.K. Raghavan has made that point. Thank you, Mr. Kharge. Vikram, let's bring you in. You spoke from a historical perspective. I'll tell you, when I joined journalism, this Kaveri water dispute was there. Today, some 21 years later, it's the same dispute. It's the same thing. It hasn't moved. It's almost like what, you know, Sigmund Freud used to call this repetition compulsion.
Yeah.
What's
history repeats itself as a farce, and that's what is happening here every time. I remember even during school days, the school would be closed for months on end because of the Kaveri issue. Barkha, I think as Nandita mentioned, I would echo her sentiment that where is the government of Karnataka in the midst of all this? Today was a very sensitive day, and any government worth its salt should have understood that there could be a law and order situation in the city. And I think willfully somewhere it let situation pass to what it has become. The second thing that I think popular sentiment in the state, if I could at all, talk about it, has been the complete ineptness of the legal team of Karnataka, which was representing the case on behalf of the government. And there's a lot of anger even against Mr. Fali Nariman, who said that, you know, as a goodwill gesture, we are going to release X amount of water. So, and in a year when Karnataka face 90% drought. Now, see, I think the fundamental problem here is Tamil Nadu has three crop seasons, the Kuvai from April to July, the Samba from August to November, and the Navarai from December to March. Whereas Karnataka follows the crop seasons very much like North India does, the Kharif from May to August, the Rabi from September to December, and the summer crop from January to May. So I think the time has really come to put some order in place, and as everyone else has said, and as Kaju has said, a scientific assessment needs to be done. And the CWDT, the Kaveri Water Dispute Tribunal, in 2007, I had done that already with a distribution
of... Vikram, the point is that we need political will, and this is what I'm trying to say to Justice Kaju, to allow for a scientific resolution. Now, Dr. Devi Shetty, who's of course one of our most eminent medical voices from the city, is joining us, and then I'll take last comments from all of you. Dr. Shetty, Kiran's on the program. She says this is Gundaism. We have friends from Tamil Nadu on the program. They say the same. As a prominent voice from Bangalore, what would you say to your city today?
Whatever is happening is very, very unfortunate. It shouldn't have happened. My only request to both Karnataka and Tamilian citizens is that we have to believe in the justice. We have to judiciary and the government. And I'm sure there will be amicable solution, but going to the street and public anger and all this violence, which is a reflection of anarchy, which is very, very sad. How can we treat our own country's citizens, our own brothers, as if they are our enemy country? So it's very sad whatever is happening. But I guess it's an emotional outburst, and maturity, wisdom will prevail.
Yes.
And some sanity will come.
Dr. Shetty, do you agree that this is an issue that has gone beyond both the courts and politicians, that we need to find some other solution that has to, you know, we have Justice Kaju here who's saying you have to find a solution in science. You're not going to find it in either law or politics.
Exactly. There has to be a scientific solution which is acceptable to both parties. Of course, somebody will be unhappy, but then there has to be a solution. Right now, the way we are going about it is not the right way. We have to come up with a solution. But for that, we need to have the political will from both sides.
Yes. Dr. Shetty, again, saying that, you know, we cannot treat our own people as if, you know, we're a country divided. And that's really the horrible image going out to the world. Thank you, Dr. Devi Shetty. Kiran, let's start with getting last thoughts from all of you now. Kiran, who do you blame for this mess?
You know, I think all of us have expressed our views. This is not about a blame game. I think now we are at a time when I think everybody has to take the responsibility of bringing about peace and calm and putting an end to this violence. I don't think there should be a blame game at all at this stage of what we are addressing. And I really would like to see every political party on both sides coming together and telling the people that they are going to find a solution in the near future. And I, for one, I think I go by this statement that both Mr. Kaju and I made, that we must find a scientific and a very, very technical resolution to this problem. Otherwise, we will not see the end of this.
And Kiran, you're saying again and again that it's completely dangerous and inflammable for our politicians to play politics right now.
Politics has to be kept aside. This is a time for us to behave as one nation, behave in a very rational and mature way. And it is time to show leadership on both sides. That is why I again go back to this whole issue about both chief ministers showing leadership, all political parties showing leadership, and really addressing this issue as one of national importance in terms of resolution.
Let me take that to Nandita. Nandita, you've spoken a lot about how the Karnataka government failed. But what about what's happening in Tamil Nadu and this attack on the New Woodlands Hotel? How are we going to ensure the same sort of protection like we're asking for the Tamilians in Karnataka for the Kannadigas in Tamil Nadu?
This has to be done. In the short run, immediately, both governments have to stop this violence and do something about it. I mean, it's not, neither in Karnataka nor in Tamil Nadu can violence be justified. But there has to be a long-term solution. Now, both Karnataka and Tamil Nadu are rain-fed states. And in this situation, they have to start planning their water resources better. They have to make sure that their tanks, their lakes and all are kept clean, are not polluted, that the water is potable, so that whether it's Bengaluru or Chennai, we don't have terrible drinking water problems. They have to do something because our population is just growing out of bounds, and we have to do something in the long run to make sure we have enough water for both for
how
people
do you think
to
Jai
drink
Lalita should respond right
food.
Now? But Nandita, how do you think Jai Lalita should respond as Chief Minister? We've spoken a lot about how the Siddaramaiah government has responded.
Well, first thing is that there should be no violence in Tamil Nadu.
Yeah.
I think that's the first step that should be taken.
But that is
and
where
I'm
we
sure
need our politicians to lead. And that is where, Justice Karju, I cannot agree with you, because science will come later. You need political will first. And if everybody is going to keep playing to their own regional constituencies, how will that happen?
We must immediately set up a joint scientific committee by three parties: Karnataka government, Tamil Nadu government, and central government. And this joint scientific committee should consist of top scientists, not only in India, but they can get from abroad also, to deal with the water shortage problem. The politicians can only help in the sense that they can help set up the committee. Thereafter,
but they have to agree to be to set it up. And there's also a suggestion, Justice Karju, that the Supreme Court, you heard one of the panelists saying that, could have been more sensitive to the situation in Karnataka.
Supreme Court's orders are like the orders of King Canute telling the waves to go back. They are meaningless orders. Nobody listens.
You are saying the Supreme Court orders are meaningless.
Like King Canute, he said, waves go back. Supreme Court should not get involved in this. They can't do anything.
What do you mean? What do you mean they should not get involved in this?
All right, then pass orders. Nobody will listen to you. Nobody
are you saying the Supreme Court of India is irrelevant?
In such matters, they are irrelevant. There are other matters, they can decide other disputes, but in these disputes, these water river disputes are to be solved by scientists. Supreme Court judges can't solve them. They think they are gods. They can, by King Canute, wave, tell the waves, go back. Keep on passing orders, are meaningless, nobody listens to them. Is anybody listening to them in Karnataka or Tamil Nadu? Supreme Court unnecessarily is getting involved in this. They should not have gotten involved in this.
So those are very strong words. We should put them on. In fact, Justice Karju saying the Supreme Court is entirely irrelevant in the Kaveri water dispute. R.K. Raghavan, that's quite a statement coming from a retired judge of the Supreme Court.
I dare not comment on Justice Karju's views, lest I offend him. But the point is, things are definitely better in Tamil Nadu. I don't know why. I wish it remains so tomorrow and the after. But the point is, as Dr. Shetty said, it's an emotional issue.
Yes.
I just concur with him as it's emotional. But on these occasions, the gundas who come to the streets are not actuated by an emotional drive. It's actually, they want to make a hell of a lot of money out of it. They loot, they just go about indiscriminately beating up people, breaking cars, not because they are emotionally involved, because that's a field day for them. So the police should have acted. If they did not, we'll have to examine why. But now, the main point is introduce deterrence. As a former policeman, I would like to mention nothing works like deterrence. All, as many as possible of those gundas who were on the streets today, have been caught on video, should be arrested tonight itself. That is not
that
done,
would send a strong message
on the part of the Karnataka government.
I agree. That would send a strong message. Vikram, a quick thought there?
Yes, that's exactly what I said, Barkha. I think there's been a lot of lackadaisical attitude from the Karnataka government, and they need to, stand up and, stand in solidarity with the linguistic minorities in the city, particularly the Tamilians. Now, having said that, I think, the shift in agricultural patterns that we see in Karnataka to a lot of water-intensive crops, like sugarcane and paddy, whereas this has largely been a millet, growing state. So that also, I think, when a scientific survey is done, that would need to be looked into. And the long-term solutions would be things like rainwater harvesting or desalination or, interlinking of rivers, because we can't be in the 21st century fighting like this over water with our neighboring state of the same country. I think it's high time, after 100 years, that we resolve this issue once and for all to the benefit of everybody concerned.
I couldn't agree with you more. We will leave it there. Vikram Sampath, Justice Karju, Kiran Shaw, R.K. Raghavan and Nandita Krishnan, thank you so much for joining us on the Buck Stops here today. We'll end by going back to the ground to Maya Sharma. Maya, give us a sense of what is happening there now. Is it calmer? What is the police chief saying? What about schools and colleges that are completely shut? An American advisory asking its citizens to be careful. Not the kind of reputation a city claiming to be Silicon Valley of India would want.
Oh, no, not at all. Bengaluru, an internationally known city. There was even a phrase, being Bengalured, that is being actually Bangalore being put down by Bangalore because Bangalore was just so successful. Will Bangalore look Bangalore today? The situation, well, it's still smoky down there. The bus is still burning. People still walking past, crowds still gathering despite those prohibitory orders in place. There are CRPF people, RAF personnel on the streets. The state government has just sent out a request to Rajnath Singh, the Home Minister, the Union Home Minister, asking for more central forces. Also, there's going to be a top-level meeting tomorrow morning of leaders of different parties to discuss this issue, a cabinet meeting tomorrow again, as the state government tries to restore calm in a situation that has gone rapidly and perhaps unexpectedly out of control. Those buses burning behind me, really, a symbol of all that has gone wrong over the years, the failure to find a solution to this Kaveri crisis.
Maya, one of the comments that have come from the entire panel tonight has been that this is Gundaism. It is Gundaism in Tamil Nadu, it is Gundaism on a larger scale in Karnataka, and that the police will have to take the responsibility of exemplary punishment to these Gundas. But yet, I'm a bit disturbed because while the Chief Minister of Karnataka, for example, did say that the Gundas who beat up a Tamilian, Santosh, would be acted against, the Karnataka Home Minister is talking about arresting the man who was beaten. So are we going to see exemplary action against these Gundas?
I think in the same statement, I think the Home Minister went on to say that Karnataka was an aggrieved party, that it had unhappiness to express. So, as I was saying earlier, possibly the Congress government, seeing the people expressing things which, as a Congress party, is the ruling party of the state, they're not able to really say out loud themselves. In Mandya, we saw protesters being arrested for having vandalized public property. We saw caning of protesters at the KRS dam in Mandya district, the place where all this water is stored, this troublesome water is stored. We saw caning of protesters there. We also heard some of the rioters down below, when the buses were being set on fire, yelling at us, don't video this, video, turn off the video, don't record this, knowing full well that if they were caught on video, it would actually be proof of the arson, of the criminal activity. Whether action will be taken beyond a preliminary arrest and release, well, that's really the call for the state government to take, to understand whether it wants to send out a message that Bengaluru, Karnataka is a law-abiding state, or whether they're still more concerned with sending out the message to neighbouring Tamil Nadu that the people of the state are unhappy over the amount of water they're being asked to release. That's a choice really for the Chief Minister and the government to answer, and they'll be meeting on that tomorrow to probably try and take a clearer call.
Well, let's hope for some sort of calming and dousing of those flames. Maya Sharma, thank you. Thank you to our panel. It's been a rough day in Karnataka. Thank you very much. It is going to be perhaps a tense day tomorrow in Bangalore. It's also going to be a tense day in the Kashmir Valley, where we're just getting news that choppers and drones will be used for surveillance. Mobile phones are down. Data, of course, internet services are down as well. This includes broadband and Wi-Fi services. and of course there's curfew again in all 10 districts of Kashmir. That will be Eid in the Kashmir Valley tomorrow. From Karnataka to Kashmir, we'll keep an eye on both those situations. Thanking all of our viewers for watching The Buck Stops Here. Good night and see you tomorrow.